Okay, so tonight's Chant and Kugel is dedicated by Yerachmiel Brat, none of the Yartzeit of the Ben Ishchai. And a Shkoyach to Hashikalis for Isaac Mitzarch Tzibur and actually schlepping and bringing and buying the Chant and the Kugel. Okay. The main Kamach and Taira, both. Okay. Okay, Pashas Kiseitze. Okay, as is well known, Pashas Kiseitze always falls out during the month of Elul, and the reason is well known, is obvious. The parsha starts off, Kiseitze, L'machama L'ayivecho. When you go out to machama against your enemy, Unasana Yashem Al-Kecha B'yadecho, and Hashem will give the enemy over into your hands, V'shavisa Shivyoi, and you'll capture a captive. And the Poshe Pshat and the Pasuk, of course, refers to a machama, and the Eishas Yifas Tayah. By the way, the Archaim HaKadosh and many of the Mefarshim explain that the Muhammad and the Pasuk is not the physical Muhammad, but that refers to the Muhammad against the Yetzirah. The Muhammad against the Yetzirah. When a person goes out to Muhammad, which Muhammad? The one and only Muhammad. The Muhammad that a person fights his whole life against the Yetzirah. The Ikar is that a person has to go out to fight. A person sits still and doesn't take any action against the Yetzer Hara, he'll lose before he starts. The Ikir is to have a Muhammad. A person who goes out to fight against the Yetzer Hara, when the son of Hashem Al-Kecha B'yadecha, has Avtocha, that Hashem will give the Yetzer Hara over into his hand. A person has to go out and to fight. Says the Chavetz Chaim, if a person goes out to fight, when the son of Hashem Al-Kecha B'yadecha, v'shavisa shivyoy, as Chazal tell us, that a person who does tshuva, what happens to his averos? His averos and nasaloik is chuyos. His averos become like mitzvahs by doing tshuva. V'shavisa shivyoy, says the Chavetz Chaim, you'll capture a captive by doing tshuva, you'll capture all the averos that you did. And everything you did wrong. And by doing tshuva, you can turn it all around, and nasaloik is chuyos can become to him like mitzvahs. With Tferes Shloimeh said that by a Muhammad, one day one side could win, one day the other side wins. A Muhammad is a war. As long as the war is being fought, the battle is ongoing, you can have somebody one day have a victory, the next day take a loss, the other side could win. A Muhammad doesn't mean that you're constantly winning. A Muhammad means that you're constantly fighting. The Ikir is, says the first Shulaimah, not winning the Muhammad. The Ikir is that you're in the Muhammad. You're fighting against the Yetzer Hara. Some days, the Yetzer Hara is going to overpower. Some days, you'll be strong enough to overpower the Yetzer Hara. But the Ikir is that you're in the Muhammad. You're fighting against the Yetzer Hara. As long as you're fighting the Muhammad, then Hashem will watch over you. But a person who's not even in the Muhammad, and is not fighting against the Yetzer Hara, that person doesn't stand a chance. The Ikir has to be, Kiseitzei Muhammad, when you go out to fight against the Yetzer Hara. The Yisoid HaAvoda, the Swanim Rebbe, a chassid once came to the Yisoid HaAvoda. And the Rebbe saw that he needed a lot of chizik. So the Rebbe asked the chassid, tell me, how did you travel? How did you come? What transportation did you use to arrive here? And the chassid said, I traveled on a donkey, sat on a donkey, and I rode on the donkey. So the Rebbe asked him, if you fell off the donkey, what would you do? So the chassid says, I pick myself up, and I get right back on the donkey. The Rebbe said to him again, and if you fell off the donkey a second time, what would you do? And the chassid said, I'd pick myself up for a second time, and I'd get right back on the donkey. And the Rebbe asked him, and if you fell off the donkey a third time, what would you do? So the chassid was getting a little bit annoyed, but didn't exactly understand what the Rebbe was driving at. So when the Rebbe asked him, if you fall off a donkey a third time, what would you do? So the chassid said, I'd pick myself up for the third time, and I got back on the donkey. What does the Rebbe expect me to do? Sit on the floor and cry? I'll pick myself up and get back on the donkey. The Rebbe said, oh, that's what I was waiting for, he said. When the Yetzer Hara comes to you, sometimes a person falls. What do you do when you fall? You pick yourself up and get right back on. It goes good for a while. Then the Yetzer Hara overpowers you again. You fall a second time. What do? Pick yourself up. And again, you fight the Yetzer Hara. It happens a third time, what do? Do you sit on the floor and do you cry? You pick yourself up a third time and you fight. No matter how many times it happens, a person is in a Muhammad with the Yetzer Hara. every person knows that they have their challenges, then it's yainis that they have to overcome. And many times it goes easy. A person is good. Everything's going, the learning, the davening, everything's going very good. And then you hit the ruts where things go a little bit, not so easy. And you fall and you sit on the floor. If you're on the floor, pick yourself up. You fall once, pick yourself up. It happens again, again. A person has to keep picking himself up. The ikir is, he's citing a mukhamo to be in the mukhamo against the Yetzirah. Pasuk says later on, a person who builds a new house, the mitzvah of making a makah fence around your roof, so Posh Pshat is that a person should make a fence around his roof. Domim is a lotion of blood. A person doesn't make a fence, somebody could fall off the roof, and you shouldn't cause misa, Rashi brings down, you shouldn't bring misa to somebody through you. And therefore, take all precautions to watch your roof and make sure that chas v'shom, nobody falls off and is killed or hurt from your roof. Tonight's the Ben Ish Chai's yard site. So Ben Ish Chai darshens his pasuk. And he says, beautiful. Ki sivne bayis chadosh. A person builds a new house. A person has atzlocha in this world. He has nechosim, he has property, as a house. He's rich. A person has atzlocha. The asisa maka nelecha. First thing you have to do is make a maka, make a dorim. Person has to be careful. Sometimes people come into money and they use it the wrong way, and people can ruin themselves. The asisa maka, you have to make a dorim around your roof. Make a dorim to watch what you have, and make sure to use the money the right way. And then says the Ben Ish Chai, v'loisosim domim v'secha. Domim can mean money. Domim can mean money as well. Demei. Domim. Don't keep the money in your house. Give the money to tzedakah. Don't think that suddenly a person, I have money, person tends to store it away, put it away, lock it up. V'loisosim domim. Don't leave the money in your house. But give the money to tzedakah. Because every person is a certain amount of money a person has to spend or lose during the year. And if a person gives it to tzedakah, then he doesn't have to lose it a different way. But that money that he's going to lose during the year is going to fall. It's going to be missing from him at the end of the year. But it's up to the person how the money is missing. Is it because they use it for a mitzvah? He gave it to tzedakah? Or is it because something else happened? You find the story in the Gemara, when Wheel's nephews, he had a dream that they would owe a certain amount of money, and they were taken to jail, and they had to be redeemed, and at the end of the day, he made a cheshbon how much it cost to redeem him. And it was short from the dream when Wheel had the amount of money they had to pay throughout the year. And they said that they had given tzedakah throughout the year. And the cheshbon ate it up to the penny at the end of the year, the tzedakah they gave, plus the ransom they had to pay, ate it up to the total amount they had to spend during the year. Says Rabbi Wheel, had they spent the money entirely for tzedakah, they wouldn't have had to use it for a ransom. A person has expenses during the year, don't keep the money stored up. Because at the end of the year, whatever you're supposed to end up with, a person will end up with. Rather, use it for tzedakah and mitzvahs during the year, and this way a person will have schar. B'frata comes Chodesh Elul, so the month of Elul, the cheshbon is from last year, have to catch up. Because last year's cheshbon is sort of coming to an end. A new cheshbon starts soon with the new year. So, accounting takes place. It's a good idea to give tzedakah, chodesh elul, in case a person had to have a loss, let it be mekayim through the mitzvah of tzedakah, and not chas v'shalom through any other way. Famous story with the Abarbanel, said over, perhaps the story said over by others as well, famous story. The Abarbanel was close to the king in Spain. And of course, since he was the Jewish advisor to the king, he had many enemies. And they went to the king and they said to the king that your great Jewish advisor, Abarbanel, is not an honest man. He's stealing money from the king's treasury and he deserves to be punished. And the king said, can you prove it? And they said to the king, tell the Abarbanel to make a cheshbon, to give you a list of all his assets, everything that he owns from A to Z, a list of all his assets that he owns from the very bottom to the very top. and we'll go through his list with a fine tooth comb.
Audit
the Abarbanel and find out what he really has. So the king commands the Abarbanel within 3 days to hand over a complete audit of all his cheshbonos, all his belongings, all his assets. 3 days later, the Abarbanel returns with a parchment, a piece of paper, and on it is written that he owns a certain amount of money, 7,000, 10,000, whatever it might have been. And nothing else is written. Not his real estate, not his fields, not his belongings in his house, not his silver, not his gold. Just a certain amount of money, and that's it. The king takes a look at it, and all the other officers look at it, and right away they start laughing. You see, the Abarbanel, look how much fun he's making of you. He's asking for a list of all his assets, and all he gives you is one number, and we know it's not true. His house alone is worth more. His house alone is worth more. His fields alone are worth more. His silver and his gold. How dare you? How dare he give such a list? Not only did he listen to you, but he's hiding. He must be hiding a lot of his assets, and we're right. And the king has him thrown into jail. After a few days go by, the king starts thinking to himself, Abarbanel is not, must have known what he was doing. He must have known what he was doing. Let me find out what he meant, what his rationale was when he wrote down on a piece of paper, 10,000, and that was it. So he has the Abarbanel brought before him, and the king says to him, tell me, your house is worth a lot more. Your fields are worth a lot more. How could you write down that all your assets are only 10,000? And the Abarbanel says, you asked me to write down what's really mine, what belongs to me. Everything I own in this world can be taken away from me in a second. Look at me right now. My house, the king took away from me. All my assets, the king wants to take away from me. Anything I have can be taken away from me. The only money in the world that's truly mine is what I gave to Tzedakah. Whatever I gave to Tzedakah truly belongs to me, because that nobody could ever take away from me. That money that I gave to Tzedakah is mine. Well, I won't buy it forever and ever. So when I wrote down on this paper, 10,000, that's the amount that I gave to Tzedakah all the years, and that money is truly mine. But everything else that I own in this world can be taken away from me in an instant, and it's not truly mine. The king heard that, he understood what Abarbanel meant, and he believed him to be an honest person, and he reinstated him, and found favor in the king's eyes. But again, the idea is that the only money that truly belongs to a person is the money that he gives to Tzedakah. Don't hide the money in your house, because rather a person should use it for a mitzvah, use it for Tzedakah. The Pasuk says, well, this we said over every year, we'll say it over again. Everybody likes this, the marshal. The Pasuk tells us, the person from Ammon, a man of Ammon Amayov, can't marry into the Kahal Hashem and come into Kahal Yisrael. We don't accept Geirim from Ammon Amayov. Perik Chaf Gimel Pasuk Dalet. Why not? So Pasuk Hey tells us, Al Devar Asher Kidmu Eschem Balechem Uvamayim. Because they didn't come forth and bring you bread and water, Baderech Betzeischem Mitzrayim, on your way out of Mitzrayim. And they hired Bilam ben Baor of Ipsar Ram Narayim, a Kalaleka to curse you. So since Ammon Amayov didn't bring you bread and water, they hired Bilam ben Baor, they can't come into the Kahal Adayim. And Adudu Magin has his famous marshal. Is it one reason? Is it two reasons? The Pasuk is Mashma, they didn't bring you bread and water, and they hired Bilam ben Baor. What's the connection between not bringing bread and water and hiring Bilam ben Baor? And he says over his famous story, as soon as I start, you probably remember it, but it's nice to say over anyway. There was once a farmer in Amoritz, didn't know too much. And he had a daughter who was looking for a shidduch to get married, and his daughter wanted to marry a Talmud Chacham. He wanted to marry a Talmud Chacham. So she insisted to her father, they travel into the big city, and he goes to Rosh Hashiva, and he finds her the best boy. Okay, the father, what he went through for his daughter. So the father travels to Rosh Hashiva, and he says, I have a daughter, looking for a Talmud Chacham, and I want the best boy in the yeshiva. Rosh Hashiva says, and what's going to be after the chasen? How's he going to live? The farmer says, he'll stay by me in the house. I'll take care of him. I'll feed him, give him a place to live. I'll take care of him in the house. Doesn't have to worry about anything. All expenses paid. But Rosh Yeshiva suggests a certain boy meets the girl, and Mazel Tov, the chasa takes place, they get married. After the Sheva Brachas is over, remember the story, after the Sheva Brachas is over, they come to live in the farmer's house, like he said, and he gives them a room to stay in, and the next morning breakfast is a piece of dry bread, and a little stale piece of herring and some water. Okay, everyone remember the story. Okay. Supper now is the exact same menu, a piece of dry bread, a little all stale herring and water. Day in and day out is the same menu. The dry bread, the stale herring, the water. After a week he can't take it anymore. The chosan can't take it. That's a fool. This is not what I expected. So he approaches the father-in-law and he says, we have to talk. Can we have a change in the menu? How about some shalom, some kugel, a change in the menu? And father-in-law says, listen, I promise you food, this is what we serve in the house. We serve dry bread, herring, and water. That's it. And the son-in-law sees he's not getting anywhere. He tries again and again, another week, a month, he's had it. He decides the only solution is to go on a hunger strike. He's not going to eat. You show us father-in-law, he's not going to eat anything at all. He's going to starve himself. The next morning, the father-in-law serves him breakfast, comes back later to clean up. Nothing was touched. The bread, the herring, the water is all there. Comes supper time, the son-in-law doesn't touch anything at all. The next day, nothing at all. The father was getting very upset. Here I am supporting my son-in-law and I'm feeding him and he has the nerve not to eat what I give him. How could he be such a chutzif and not appreciate the favors and the care I'm doing for him? He warns the son-in-law, you better eat or else. And the son-in-law refuses to eat. The next morning, he comes to breakfast. The father-in-law walks in with two big gangsters next to him. Two big, strong men standing next to him. And he says to his son-in-law, eat. And if not, they're going to take care of you. Make sure you eat. And the son-in-law refuses to eat, and the two big gangsters grab him, and they start hitting him until he eats. Supper, same thing, better eat or else, and they force him to eat. The son-in-law had it, that's it. That night he decides he can't stay anymore, he runs away. He runs back to yeshiva, he goes to Rosh Yeshiva and he tells him the whole story. The next morning the father-in-law realizes that the son-in-law disappeared. He's fuming, the son-in-law disappeared. Where else would the son-in-law go but back to his Rosh Yeshiva? So the father-in-law gets into his wagon, travels back to the big city, comes to the yeshiva, storms in to the Rosh Yeshiva's office, and says, what kind of bachim do you have in the yeshiva? That son-in-law of mine, no good, he runs away, what happened? And the Rosh Yeshiva says to him, tell me the story. And the father-in-law says, I'm such a generous man, I fed him meals every day, breakfast, lunch, supper. And first he complains the food's not good. Then he refuses to eat. And it's not healthy for someone not to eat. So I try to encourage him to eat and explain to him that he has to eat and he runs away. What a mechutzif he is. And the Rosh Yeshiva says to him, tell me, what did you do to force him to eat? Okay, I had to make sure I hired two babysitters to watch over him that he eats. And the Rosh Yeshiva says to him, and what's the problem? Why didn't he want to eat? Why don't you give him good food? He says, give him good food? I gave him bread, herring, water. I can't afford anything more than that. All I could afford is to give him some bread and herring. What's he complaining about? And Rosh Yeshiva says to him, really? But money you had to hire two gangsters to beat him up, for them you were able to, them you were able to afford. Money you had for them, and you couldn't use the money to buy him food? It's no excuse. You had the money, but you used it the wrong way. So the Dunal Magid, that's the pshat in the pasuk. Al devar asher lo kidmu eschem barachem uvamayim baderech betzeis chabim mitzrayim. Amon Amoyov didn't bring out water to the Yidin when they left Mitzrayim. That's a taina against Amon Amoyov. How many Yidin were there? 600,000 men. What about everybody else? You're talking a million people. You know how much it costs to feed a million people? Bread, water. It's expensive. Imagine bringing bread and water for a million people. It's tremendously expensive. It's a tiny and amen and mother. They didn't bring bread and water. That's why they can't come into the kahal. It was too expensive. Says the pasuk. 1 minute. But you had plenty of money when it came to hire Bilam ben Baor. Bilam wasn't cheap. We see him Bashas Balak. Immediately, Boch Moed Beisai Kesef Azov. Bilam demanded a larger salary. For Bilam, you had money. And to feed Bnei Yisrael, you didn't have water. no excuse. Because you had the money and use it the wrong way. If that's the case, use the money to do bad, not to do good, not to help Bnei Yisrael. For that, you have learned Mekal Hashem Adrim. So says the Dumnu Magid, one of the famous Mishnah. But the lesson is very powerful. Aren't we all like that? When it comes to what we want to do, we find the time for it, we find a way how to do it. And when it comes to what we don't want to do, suddenly it's too hard and we can't do it. For the Narishkeit, we have the time. To open the Sefer, I'm tired, I can't do it. You start rationing, you start using it the wrong way. Money I have for this, but not for that. A person has to sit down and make a true cheshbon. How he's using his time, how he's using all his resources, the kayach, the talents that Hashem gave him. And it shouldn't be like somebody who uses it the wrong way. Especially with Chodesh Elul, let's try to use the kayachas that we have the right way. The Pasuk says, later on in the parasha, the Pasuk mentions the, you know, the mitzvah of shikha. What shikha? A person is out in his field, and he forgets the bundles in the field, one or two bundles. So the bundles he forgot in the field, he has to leave behind for the aniyim. They are considered to be shikha. So the Pasuk says, a person is cutting in his field, and he forgets the bundles in his field. He can't return to take it. It belongs to the ger, yosim v'amon v'aniyim. So Hashem should bench you in all of your actions, whatever you do. And Rashi brings down Maman Yivarechacha. Hashem should bench you. V'afal pi shabos liyadoi shuloi b'miskaving. Even though the mitzvah of shichacha came to his hand without kavana. Shichacha means he unintentionally forgot the bundles by accident. Kavachaymer, and still he's zaychet to a bracha. Kavachaymer lo'aisa b'miskaving. One does a mitzvah with kavana, avada yizayich tischar. Emma meyata, now we could say, if nafla selam yodoy, a person by accident drops a coin, or mitzah oni, and the oni finds the coin, for this parnasba, and the oni uses it for parnasa, harehu misparei chaleho. The person who dropped it receives a bracha, even though he didn't even know he dropped it, all intentionally, still zayich to a bracha. Sefta, at the end, and sefta brachas perigvav halachu yudimu, brings down the following maysa. Maisa b'chassid echad. A maisa with one chassid, sheshachach oimer b'seich sadeyu. He forgot a bundle in his field. Bundle of wheat in his field. V'yomer l'benoi, and he said to his son, tsei v'hikriv olai par lo'ayla or par l'shalomim. Go and bring for me a par for a carbon oila and a par for a carbon shalomim. I'm so besimcha, I'm so happy, I forgot the bundle in the field, go bring a carbon oila and a carbon shalomim. So the son asked the father, why are you so happy? A mitzvah of shikha, why are you so happy? And the father answered, "Kol mitzvah shibataira, Hashem nasan ledatenu." All the mitzvah Hashem gave us to do with our das. We have to plan out to do the mitzvah, we have to do it with our knowledge. But the mitzvah of shikha is without our planning. And just the opposite. If a person plans to forget a bundle, that's not called forgetting. If he does it on purpose, it's not called shikha. He says, Hashem was mezakeh me to do a mitzvah without my planning, without my das. Hashem gave me this chus. What a simcha. Go bring a par l'ayla and a carbon and a par l'shamim. And he said, I'm zoicha. The pasuk says, Raman yivarechacha Hashem lakecha. I'm zoicha to a special bracha. Hashem was mezakeh me with a mitzvah and a bracha. For that, go ahead and celebrate. Be a simcha. Rabbi Baruch Ber, they arranged for him a place to live in a certain house, and people worked very hard to fix it up, that everything should be good and convenient for a Baruch Ber to live in. Without realizing that right across the street from where the house was, a galach lived, and he had a big shesi ve'eriv by the window or displayed in front of his house. And a Baruch Ber moved into the house, and he noticed his neighbor across the street. And every day it bothered him, he had sad, and he had to wake up and look at the Shesi Ve'erev across the street. He never said anything, because he didn't want the people to feel bad. They put such kaychis into preparing the house for him, he didn't want to say anything. But it bothered him. One day, everyone saw Baruch Ben was on a high, very happy. B'simcha g'dayla. And his Talmidim asked him, Mayhai, why is the Rebbe such a big simcha today? What happened? Why are you so happy? And he said, I'll tell you over a story and you'll understand why I'm happy. he told them about the Shesiv Erev across the street. He said, I'll tell you all the story. Rav Nosson Adler, the Chassam Sofer's Rebbe, one year was Erev Chanukah, and a delegation arrived from a certain town that they have trouble with the Poritz, and the Poritz was geyser on them that they have to leave the town. He wants to chase all the Jewish people out of the town, and the character of Nosson Adler to ask him to intercede with the governor on their behalf. Nosson Adler was friendly with the Duke, with the governor, and they asked him to intercede on their behalf to save them. They shouldn't be chased out of the town. Motzoi Shabbos, it was very cold outside, and it was snowing, a heavy snow started to fall. And Nosson Adler called the Talmidim, said, make arrangements, I have to start traveling to the governor's mansion, because I have to go and save these Yidden from being chased out. People heard that Rav Nosson Adler wanted to travel in the cold, wintry, snowy night. Everyone tried to persuade him to stay home and not to go. And he insisted, V'samad adam riecha, mitzvah bol yodcha tach mitzena, that he has to go now in order to save these people. It's his achrayis to go. The Chassam Sofer heard that Rav Nosson Adler insisted on going. He asked Peshus to come along with Rav Nosson Adler. Chassam Sofer, at great expense, was able to find a carriage that was closed on all sides and it was protected from the cold. Two very strong horses to pull the carriage. It cost a lot of money, but he arranged it for Nosson Adler to travel. Chassam Sofer and Nosson Adler are inside the carriage traveling towards the governor's mansion. And as they're traveling through the night, the snow becomes heavier and heavier, and the wagon gets stuck in the snow. The wagon is stuck, and no matter how hard the horses try to pull the wagon out, it doesn't budge. Nothing happens. The wagon is stuck, it can't go out. They wait for a little while. It's freezing cold. They can't sit here. So Nosson Adler tells the driver, the coachman, unhitch one of the horses, and ride the horse into the nearest town, and bring back two other horses. So we'll have four or five horses, hopefully we'll pull the wagon out. But if you just stay here, we're going to freeze because these two horses can't pull the wagon out. So the coachman takes one horse and he rides off to the nearby town. Comes back a while later. Instead of bringing back two horses, two oxen. He comes with two big strong oxen to help pull the wagon. And he comes closer to the wagon. And Nelson Adler sees that the coachman brought two strong oxen. And he brings it up to the wagon. He's ready to hitch it up to the wagon together with the horse.
Oh, good.
Klein.
Rav
Nosson Adler sees the coachman is about, brings the shvarim. He jumps out of the wagon into the freezing cold, into the snow, knee deep. He's standing in the snow and he starts dancing. He starts dancing in the snow. He starts dancing. And they're looking at him. It's freezing outside. You're still stuck. What are you dancing for? And he says, Chassam Sofer, I never thought in my life I'd be zeichet to mekayim the mitzvah of Lesachash B'shor V'achamor Yachtov. And now that Hashem was mezaken me with this mitzvah, not to use a shor and a chamor together when I have a chance, how can I not dance that Hashem was mezaken me with this mitzvah? He told the coachman not to use a shvarim, bring them back, switch it for horses. Eventually, they were able to continue on. But Hashem was mezaken with a mitzvah. How can I not dance the simcha that Hashem gave me the opportunity to do a mitzvah? So Rav Baruch Ben said, I heard over this story, and it gave me simcha. Every time in the morning I wake up, I say to myself, Sina Shesiv Erev, this is a mitzvah, V'lois Asuru Acharei Levavchem. And the Gemara says, V'lois Asuru Acharei Levavchem, Zu Avoy Dezorah. Every morning I look up and I say, Hashem was mezaken me with this mitzvah of V'lois Asuru Acharei Levavchem, not to follow after Avoy Dezorah. And instead of looking at it as a great tzar, fakert, Hashem gave me an opportunity to do this mitzvah of Lo Yisuru Acharei Levavchem. Okay. I think the lesson is obvious. A person has an isoyin. Instead of sitting and kvetching and complaining, it's no good. Oh, it's such tzar. Fakert, Hashem was mezachmi. I have a schus. It's difficult, but I have a chance to overcome the isoyin. I have a chance to do the mitzvah. And sometimes mitzvahs are hard to do. Not every mitzvah comes easy to do. Mitzvahs sometimes are hard to do. If it's a little difficult, forget. Hashem gave me this chus to do the mitzvah, mezaka to do the mitzvah. If it's hard to come to learn, Hashem gave me this chus that even though I should overcome it, it's a chus. It all depends how a person looks at it. A person can look at it as a tzar, look at it as a chus. A person who looks at it as a chus, it's much, much easier for a person and a person could rise to much greater heights. The Haftarah this week is the famous Haftarah, Rani Akara Roya Adam. And the Haftarah starts off, Rani Akara Roya Adam. Rani means pray, sing. Akara Loyalada. Yerushalayim is compared to an Akara, a barren lady who didn't give birth. Akara Loyalada. Pitzchi, Rina Vetzali, rejoice, scream, pray, Loychala, Ki Rabbin B'nei Shemema B'nei Be'ula. Because the B'nei Shemema, the children of Yerushalayim that's desolate, are more greater than the B'nei Be'ula, referring to the Romans, the Goyim, Om Hashem. Even though now Yerushalayim is the Akara, but also the Lava, Yerushalayim will have the Geula and will return back to Yerushalayim. The Degel Machne Ephraim, the grandson of Hashem Tov, says, Rani Akara Lo Yolado. Rani is one of the 10 Lashonis of Tefillah. Beginning of Aschanon, Rashi tells us that the Asara Lashonis, 10 Lashonis of Tefillah, Rina is one of the 10 Lashonis. Says the Degel Machne Ephraim, Rani, a person has to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even Akara Lo Yolado. Sometimes a person fails, his Tefillahs are not being answered. He feels like an Akara, there's no, nothing's happening, his Tefillahs aren't producing fruits. Nothing is happening at all. Sometimes a person feels he's in a situation where there's no hope. Why, Lord, there's nothing to do. Even so, Ronnie, a person has to cry out, Damat Hashem. Even though he feels like it's a kara loyalado, nothing, there's no payrus, nothing's happened, it's tefillahs. A person still has to daven, and daven, and daven. Pitzchi, Rani, Mitzali, Lechal. A person has to cry out, scream to Hashem. Ki rabbi b'nei shemeimel mebei be'ula. Sometimes a tefillah that a person davens when he feels shemem, he feels desolate, could accomplish more than a tefillah a person davens when he feels satisfied or he feels he's answered right away. A person knows that he has to put more koiches in tefillah, a tefillah daven, that of desperation could sometimes accomplish more than a tefillah daven when a person is not so desperate. Omar Hashem. And it's well known, Mashim Devar Shem Tov HaKadosh, that every tefillah is answered. Even though a person might daven, and it might seem to him that now his tefillah is not answered, it's true. It might not be answered now, but the tefillah is saved, and it's waiting in Shemayim until it's needed, and at that point, that tefillah comes into play. You find many times that children have schusim and are answered because of the parents' tefillahs, the grandparents' tefillahs help for the children doiris generations later. But tefillah never goes to waste. It might not be answered right away, but every tefillah is saved. A person, no matter what, Rani always davens. Kavi al Hashem, chazek b'yamitz gebecha, b'kavi al Hashem. Hope to Hashem, and if the person sees there's no answer, nochem, strengthen yourself, v'yamit, and then b'kavi al Hashem, you daven again, kavi, and again kavi al Hashem. No matter what, whatever the situation is, Rani, a person has to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Say over a story, the Mizrisha Magid, who was a famous doctor, Reb Aaron Gurdjieff, if I'm pronouncing his name right, became a Baal Tshuva. He was the king's doctor, and he became a Baal Tshuva, became a chassid of the Mizrisha Magid. And he was a well-known doctor.
Who was this?
He was, Reb Aaron Gurdjieff, I think his name was, if I'm pronouncing it right. He became a Baal Tshuva and a chassid of the Mizrisha Magid. And they say over a story that he was once at home, and a young girl comes running into his house, knocking on the door, doctor, doctor, please come. Her father is deathly ill, very sick. And she tells the doctor exactly what happened to her father. Please come, time is of essence, we need you right away. And the doctor says, okay, I'm coming. He takes off his jacket, says, has to clean his jacket before he puts it on. He takes a brush, starts cleaning his jacket. And she says to him, no, my father needs you right now. I'm getting ready. He cleans his jacket off. Finally puts on his jacket, takes his hat, takes his brush, starts cleaning his hat, making sure it's clean. My father needs you! I'm coming. Starts cleaning his hat. Finishes his hat. He starts to polish his shoes. She says, ah, forget about you, doctor. I don't need you anymore. Hashem, please heal my father. When he hears that, he says to her, now I'm sure your father had refuah. Go back home. She runs home. She screams, Hashem, help my father. I don't need the doctor. She comes home. The doctor comes a few minutes later. And Baruch Hashem, the doctor came, the father's already on the mend. So it sure took a while until he recuperated, had a full refuah. So later on, somebody asked the doctor, what was that all about? What happened? the girl lady comes, the father's bekuach nefesh, and you're seeing the brushing off your hat, the polishing your shoes. He said, I'll tell you the truth, he said. When she came in and I saw the way she looked and the way she described to me the symptoms her father had, there was no hope. I knew that there's nothing I could do. He said, I'm a roife chayim, not a mechayim mason. I can heal the sick, but I can't bring the dead back to life. The way she came in and she described the way her father was and his condition, there was nothing that I could do. The only thing that would help is tefillah. And I wanted her to be mispavel. I didn't want to have to go and tell her there's nothing I could do. So I took my time on purpose. And this way, she gave up on me, got a little fed up with me, and she cried out, she screamed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and because of her tefillah, her father was saved. Sometimes we overlook tefillah. We're running for this Eitzah, we're running for that Eitzah, this one will help me, that person's going to help me, this Eitzah. We forget to daven. Avad, we have to make the ishtadus. But together with the ishtadus, the person has to daven as well. And forget, tefillahs are answered. How many stories we hear of people daven and tefillahs are answered. Prat comes the month of Elul, Ani v'doy di v'doy di li. Kodesh Baruch Hu is like the melech who comes out to the field. We don't have to go to the palace. Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to us. And Kodesh Baruch Hu is waiting for us to do some sort of a tshuva, a little bit, and slowly but surely, do tshuva, and mispalo, and come close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shtak v'zaycha, that we should be able to do tshuva. Kodesh Baruch Hu should open our hearts. We should feel a little bit the need to do tshuva, the need to come close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Hashem should watch over us. V'zaycha t'oksiv yichzim ha'tayva, good ben shiyah, shvei year of Geula, year of Mashiach, t'kenim herev yimeinu, amen.